You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Our Meadowlark Browns correspondent has landed for the big Casey Keenum Thursday night game. Attrition has hit the NFL.
Did you call him Casey Keenum?
Case Keenum. That's, I'm sorry. It should be Casey.
That's close. $10.
That's a fine.
Close. No. Close personal friends call him Casey. Casey. Come here, baby.
That's his hockey name.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you played in the NHL, people would call him Casey.
That is $5. I'm sorry that
Casey
I made
or
him.
Keeney?
Casey Keeney. Keenum. That is Keener. Something that Stugatz would have pivoted to. Where is Stugatz, Mike? I just got a text from you that felt like it was filled with lies. Now he's not coming in and is in Colorado and was going to come in by Zoom for
Poor
an hour.
Billy. Poor
like,
Billy.
What are the lies now with Stugatz?
So in order to sift through this, what Stugatz is suggesting was that he was planning on coming in on today's show, which I don't believe from the get-go, not when the dead are playing Red Rocks. But he says he ran into some personal issues that prevent him from joining today's show. He's like, I could maybe join the show via Zoom. This is one of those situations, Dan, where he didn't book a return flight, and this was the plan from day one. So he's just a liar.
Yeah, I spoke to Billy yesterday about recording for later in the week for God Bless Football, for all the things that Stugatz has got to do. And he said, I've got my Golic, I've got Chris Sims, but I don't have my host. And yeah. It's like, and he's like, well, then I heard he's in Colorado, and then I Googled it, and the dead are there, and that's about all you need to know.
Yeah, it's not a surprise. So we'll see what kind of show we put together for you tomorrow, as this is the part, this is why Billy didn't want to produce that podcast, is because already we're a few weeks in and he is difficult to wrangle, filled with lies. And
have your guests but not your hosts is quite something.
And it's right on brand, right? And we'll ask for a raise when he gets back and more time off, and we'll continue to
spew. Well, it's unlimited time off, Dan. Company policy.
Spew lies.
Damn straight.
Thanks. Get some profit. Let's rehash what just happened here with David Sampson and all of us, because I understand why it is that anybody listening to this would be made uncomfortable by how coldly cutthroat and corporate all of this feels. The sacrificing of moralities with the permission of men and cavemen and fans and customers to make women not feel very good about this. And furthermore, having talked to Roy during the break, he's like, and Kaepernick is not allowed to play. Kaepernick's career is over, and these are both black quarterbacks. It's sort of what Chappelle was trying to do in that special, saying, and everyone cuts the line in front of my people.
Yeah, in the height of the whole Kaepernick situation, the reason why he's not down here is not just because of the protest, but because he wore a shirt with Malcolm X and Fidel Castro, so they decided not to sign him in favor of Jay Cutler.
And so what are the Dolphins telling their black fans? What are the Dolphins telling their female fans? And what are men who are supporting this telling everybody about, we do not care? Get us a quarterback. please, we've had 20 years of Chris Whittingham has grown up a Dolphin fan and doesn't know what it's like to have a quarterback. Still doesn't know about Tua, 11 games in. Just last week spit at us, enough with Tannehill. Just out of nowhere, post-traumatic stress disorder, just yelled at us. Tannehill's been gone for years. He's a Titan, and he just yelled
leads
at us.
Leads the NFL in fourth quarter comebacks, and I'm like, I'm not having it. Just, it stinks.
Enough with Tannehill, and so you've got a particular fan base making a particular compromise on its principles that should be offensive to all of us, but will get dismissed by Aaron Rodgers as woke culture, cancel culture, and extra sensitivities, when how much more overt does it need to be made that the entire NFL is sort of sitting out Deshaun Watson? The Texans have thrown away a season because, nah, man, we can't play him. But the Dolphins might be willing to get in that game? Like, it really is a question. And here's the part that's tricky for me, Jessica, because I thought this conversation was fascinating on air, as off air, as you were having it with Mike Ryan, just all of the permutations of this. I can't believe that all of these things have arrived at this intersection, and what ends up happening to you is that it becomes unpleasant to just sort of wave a flag in front of it and be like, hey guys, this doesn't feel very good, right? It doesn't feel right to just keep compromising the principles because of the position, your position, because of that position.
Yeah, that's right. I don't think what I am saying is that controversial. Like, there's 23 credible accusations of misconduct on this player. So trading for him right now, when that is still up in the air, is a bad look.
And you would prefer that football fans across America, people across America, say, I don't want to root for this. I will not give the Dolphins any more of my dollars. I will disavow my allegiance. And I am washing my hands of it. But it's unfortunately not that simple. Now, I do not want the Dolphins to trade for Deshaun Watson. Now, or frankly, ever, as desperate as I am to have a good quarterback for my football team, I find these accusations to paint him in a light where I find him to be a despicable person. However, I don't know if the Dolphins did trade for him, if in a year, 3 years, 7 years, if eventually I'd get over it. Because the unfortunate thing about some of these people being unrelenting in the NFL, where it's just Tyreek Hill is just in the league, Adrian Peterson was just in the league, you eventually, over the course of a certain amount of time, just get over it. The league, you can't sustain a loathing of a player for long enough because he's just there. So what, I'm the only one that's going to sit this out? No one else is sitting. Why am I the only one that's sitting this out? And eventually, fans relent on their morals.
Chris, let me ask you a question. What's something that you said, I'm out on it, and have never been back? And actually, this question is for everybody. What's something that you've legit canceled out of your life? I'll go first to give an example. R. Kelly doesn't get plays anymore.
Michael Jackson doesn't get plays for me either. I'm completely out on him. I don't want that anywhere. I don't watch Kevin Spacey movies. You actually had a good conversation on Cinephile about this, which I was listening to this morning, about some of the people. Tom Cruise was Adnan's example. Yeah. He doesn't support anything Tom Cruise does because of the Scientology, you know, reporting that's been done. So, yeah, I mean, there are things in my life, but I don't know if the Dolphins is one of them. Like, part of the frustration that we talk about with me and the Dolphins, they're my first sports love. Like, I went to a Dolphins game at 8 years old to go see them get killed by the Ravens in a playoff game, and it was like going to Disney World. It was more impactful to me than going to Disney World. I love the Dolphins. I want them to be good so bad.
Sad Disney World.
I thought Pro Player Stadium was a cathedral. I really did.
I thought that of the Orange Bowl when the Dolphins originally started playing there. That's exactly the same thing that I thought of the Miami Dolphins watching them in the Orange Bowl. There's something about the imprinting of these organizations as a child that is emotional and generational.
You know how to break that? The easiest way to break that love? Easiest way. Go work for them. That's what happened with, I was the biggest Knick fan in the world. And then I worked there. And I'm like, oh, I can never.
You thought you arrived at Mecca, right? With just a job on the ground level with the Knicks.
Dan, Madison Square Garden was a building I'd only step foot in to watch the circus. Because when I was growing up, the Knicks were so good. Getting a ticket? What? No, not even a chance. You have to go to the scalpers outside. 3-4 times face value at one of the most expensive in the league tickets. And so the first Knick game I ever went to was when I worked for the Knicks at Madison Square Garden. I've been to Knick games in other places. And I was just like, oh my God, I'm here, the you know, the world's most famous arena. And then a rat scurried by and I said, okay, didn't expect to see that.
I think my point about the NFL in general is just that, like, it doesn't have to be this way. And B, when you're a league that is trying to purport itself as this inclusive, you know, we want female fans, we want LGBTQ fans, we want to hire female coaches, we want to be inclusive of everyone. We want every football is family. Like, you know, we're all together. Like, we want everyone to be a fan of this league. And then you're not going to discipline this player after this happens. You're going to have, I mean, I think that their investigation is still ongoing. They tend to take a very long time. But you're essentially kind of like forcing these two clubs to duke it out and kind of figure it out themselves. Like, you can't really have it both ways. You either have to have, you know, either say that you're a league that doesn't give a shit about any of that and let Deshaun Watson play.
Well, but this is where I stand on this one, Jessica, and it's why I never wanted Goodell. I mean, you guys remember this. I was like, he needs to not be in this business of being the iron-fisted guy, but he was rewarded so much for being the guy who was tough on crime in that league. Mm-hmm. He got to his position of power and money because he cleaned up the league and made it more palatable for America, really punishing these misbehaviors. I would say I'm an absolutist about this. Just make it cold, corporate, honest, with no emotion, and just stay out of the morality business on all counts. On every count, stay out of it. You're not equipped. Stop telling me, as the conservative NFL corporation that flip-flops when Patrick Mahomes says, hey, you were wrong about Colin Kaepernick, stop being my moral guide on anything.
You guys, part of this conversation is very Pollyannic. They don't do it because they want to be moral authority. They're just seeing where the wind blows and saying, okay, this is where the money is. The
exactly.
Whole reason,
no, that's exactly yeah. right. Like, they don't want to leave the dollars on the table. They want to appeal to more mm-hmm. fans so more people buy tickets and jerseys and all of that. But
that's the part that's disheartening, right? Like, the idea that the money is in the place of no morality. Like, you're kind of left alone on an island going, where am I as someone who wants to consume something and at least have some connection of, I like these people, I want to root for these people. I also think, Dan, like, your point about the morality business, I don't think it's about a morality. It's a workplace thing. If I was accused of all the things that Deshaun Watson's accused of, you'd toss my ass onto Ocean Drive and say, never come here ever again, because that's our workplace. Why, as a workplace, are they not allowed to say, we don't want this in our workplace, because there's an amount of talent that supersedes?
There are 15 people in the world who can do it.
Maybe seven.
Are you saying that there's more than 15 people that can do Chris Whittingham's job? Because I would say that's
Deshaun Watson
not
would
very
do
nice.
Chris Whittingham's job as well as Whittingham would do Deshaun Watson's job.
Put
it on the poll, Cody, at Lebatard Show. Who would do whose job better? Chris Whittingham as Deshaun Watson's job, or Deshaun Watson's job, or Deshaun Watson trying to do Chris Whittingham's job?
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Don Lebatard.
I did not propose in a hot air balloon, but I did go on a hot air balloon trip, a ride in San Francisco, Northern California, on my honeymoon, we got stuck in a tree. And I haven't been back since. I mean, to the entire area, by the way. Stugats!
You just avoided the entire, not just the tree, not just hot air balloons. You've avoided the entire West Coast.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugats.
Let me ask a question. Did we do a good job with this conversation? The one that we had with David Sampson.
It was interesting, I thought. I felt bad for Jessica. I don't know how to put her in a better position there. Her social media, her social mentions are going to be a dumpster fire because of how we do not treat women well in this space.
Well, it's not just about not treating well. It's that David, I think, more than anyone, has become, I think he might dispute cynical, but it comes off as cynical. Which is none of us, none of the 32 owners, none of the 32 presidents, none of the 32 general managers really want to make a moral stance. You're making a stance based off of public pressure. And he's someone who, as you've noted many times, does not care about public pressure. And so I will make the cold-hearted decision. And I just think it comes off poorly to people. Like, and whenever I've come at him with, hey, what about having a soul and being a person? It's almost like he finds it funny. Like, you find it funny that an old person doesn't care about winning. How cute. And it's like patronizing in a way.
Woody, it's like the scene from Always Sunny where Dennis tells Mac, you know, I've been having feelings, you know, like I'm a 14-year-old kid or something, you know, and Mac is like, wait, you don't have feelings?
I'm going to tell you a true story. David Sampson's an unusually honest person for someone that is considered dishonest. And he doesn't mind showing you every aspect of his life. But it wasn't but a few years ago that he was leaving a funeral and leaving it like that. What am I feeling? I'm feeling something. I'm like, yeah, it's what people feel at funerals. Yeah. Like, he's made of wires a little bit, and he's been the job for a long time, and he's been coldly the job for a long time in a way that doesn't care about public relations. So the reason he can cut through it that way that you don't hear anywhere else. I have not heard anyone else say, I'd be playing Deshaun Watson right now and I'd be trading for Deshaun Watson, is because his lead governor is 100%. I'm not in the morals business. I'm in the emotions business that steals the customer's money who thinks I'm in the morals
business. So let me make one clarification on behalf of David Sampson, if I could. You guys say he doesn't care about public pressure. He does if it results in a cratering of money and fan support. Like, he cares about
But he just did tell you the value of the franchise will not go down.
Well,
he did just tell you that
the opposite would go up.
The bottom line is that these values don't go down, and the bottom line is the bottom line.
I guess the comp I'm thinking about is the Washington football team, where Daniel Snyder dug his heels in as deep as you could ever do it. He had foundation in there, you know, cement, saying, we're never changing the name of this team. But the moment FedEx said, all right, we're out, guess what? They changed the name of the team.
And it wasn't even about the name of the team. It was about the workplace scandal that the Washington Post reported on.
But Bezos would buy it for $4 billion right now if Snyder sold it.
But of course, but he wasn't going to sell. And the idea was this was hugely damaging to the revenue, to the bottom line. I think equally so, and this is probably where we should be feeling, right? If Deshaun Watson were to come to the, if Sampson was the president of the Dolphins and he acquired Deshaun Watson, said we're playing him right away, and literally it cratered them financially, I guarantee you he wouldn't be still saying, no, we got to keep playing him.
But it's not going to crater them.
That's the issue.
You don't know that, though. It's 2021, Dan. There's been Me Too has happened in the last 3 years. If I could see a future in which the Dolphins decide to play him and sponsors come forward and they're angry about it, I could see, you know, I went to a Steelers game like maybe 4 years ago where people were protesting Michael Vick playing for the Steelers. This was after he already served time in jail.
And couldn't you also see, as we've talked about all the permutations of this, including a rich man, rich white man's toy and mortality, not morality, mortality. Who is less equipped to make the determination on that than 81-year-old white man who has been in power for a long time. This ain't going to crater my shit. I've been here 15 years doing this, and I can't get a quarterback. My business has been undermined because I can never get this quarterback. This quarterback is available only because all this shit is around him, and now I'm putting down my morality in favor of my mortality. Come pick at my games. Go ahead. I don't think you're going to do any damage to my actual brand because I've run this poorly for 15 years, and all it's done is increase in value.
I wanted to hit on Jess's point, though, like the aftermath of Me Too playing a role in this, because she does get called out because Ben Roethlisberger happened before that, and our attitudes have changed, and a lot of things have been revisited. But I think the hope would be that in the aftermath of Me Too, that our perspective would change going forward, right? And so the next time something like this happened, we'd believe women, we would support women, not retroactively going back and relitigating every case of something that happened before that, but going forward, that our perspective would be permanently changed so that when something like this happened, you don't what about what happened in the past. You say, well, now that we know, now that we're more aware of the damage that sexual harassment does to women and how frequently it happens, that we would change permanently going forward.
I also think that every time this conversation comes up and like whether it's a fair point or not, you point out that like not you, Dan, but like whoever the audience, I mean, Mike, oh, but you're a Steelers fan. Like, how do you blah, blah, blah? Like it in a way puts the onus on me to like justify my actions for the team that I grew up liking when I'm not the one who has committed a crime here. I'm not the one who's being accused of committed a crime. And when you have to constantly put the onus back on women to justify their decisions, that's a really unfair position to put someone in and really doesn't get us anywhere. Like, this is a different, like, we're having a different conversation right now. Like, I shouldn't have to justify the shitty behavior of men to make myself sleep better at night. I didn't do that shit. It's not on me.
And to be put in the position, right? I hate that she gets put in the position of the whataboutism of Southside Chicago, of Ben, her quarterback being the emblem for, oh, wait a minute, Ben already did all of this, and we were less aware because Ben skated. It would have been much worse for Ben if everything that happened with him happened right now.
And if it happened right now, like, I don't know what I would do about it. It happened when I was like in middle school. So what, like, how the hell am I supposed to justify the way that I went forward in my life as like a 12-year-old? It's an absurd argument. And I'm not saying that like that's what Amin was trying to get at in that segment. But that is what I get on social media every time I tweet about the Steelers, every time I talk about Deshaun Watson, every time we have a conversation about this on social media. Like, I'm the world's biggest hypocrite for, you know, rooting for a team that has a quarterback who's been accused twice of sexual misconduct.
No, it's a shitty position.
And it's also just a feeling of, you're not better than me. We're all sports fans. We all check our morals at the door. Like that. Like that's all. It's just meant to muddy the waters on, you don't make moral decisions. And that means that I don't have to. That means I still get to root for my football team after we've traded for Deshaun Watson, because you still rooted for your football team after we found out about what happened to Ben Roethlisberger. It's a blatant whataboutism.
And Mike Ryan has flown in as our Meadowlark Browns correspondent because he's got a team. I don't know. Kareem Hunt is hurt, right? So he's not even playing in this game. He has his own moral conundrums. Baker Mayfield got caught running away from the police. He's not playing in this game. Case Keenum is playing in this game, I imagine.
Don't forget Odell was on a boat before the playoffs. That's probably the most egregious offense.
Monster.
I should just ask you, put you on the spot, bring you in by saying, would you want Deshaun Watson tonight? But you have been having some interesting conversations with us off the air, because I don't like what happens when Jessica is in a position where she is making faces and doesn't actually want to talk because it means she can't go to her social media for 5 days because men are going to be cavemen cruel about what about this hypocrisy. This forgives my lack of morality in this instance.
But I like getting to the truth, and our show also likes getting to the truth. And I understand everywhere where Jess was coming from, and I wanted to have that conversation on the air. It's not a what about when it comes to Ben Roethlisberger, though it feels like that. And I was the one that threw that in the chat, not to catch Jess, although kind of feels like that, especially she internalized it like that, or at least gave voice to part of her feeling like that, it's because I want to get to the uncomfortable truth of, well, if Chris Whittingham is a Dolphin fan, and despite his stance on not wanting Deshaun Watson, Deshaun Watson comes here, will he still buy the AFC Championship hat when Deshaun Watson leads them there? And history would suggest, when it comes to that position, yes, he would. We saw it. These are not all apples to apples. Ben Roethlisberger happened at a different time, not to disassociate from it. I mean, yes, it happened when Jess was in middle school, but her sensibilities now can look back and reflect on Ben Roethlisberger and still feel a little icky, but also still remember how sweet that Super Bowl championship was. Two of them. Michael Vick. Eagles fans felt strongly about Michael Vick. And then he came in injury relief, and he set the world on fire. And he was awesome. There's a tribalism in sports, and it's not just sport. I talk this out with you guys when I had a friend that went through it. It was a different time 20 years ago with Ric Flair, and that came to public light. And I'm still trying to work it out. I think I'm entitled to be let down by athletes and teams and friends. I still get tweeted at whenever Will Cain does something because I admitted once that he was my friend. You take all these in, it's the human experience. And I think it's easy to disassociate ourselves, and I don't want things to come off as a cop-out. I think these things hang over us when we talk about hypocrisies amongst leagues and as people, that we should actually call them out and discuss them. We should do a better job framing them. I didn't like the optics. I didn't like sitting in it while everyone was turning to Jess. Well, what about Ben Roethlisberger? But I'm just looking for guidance. I'm looking for truth.
Well, I think the truth is, and I've said this, and Whittingham's point about, like, you know, how to move forward now that we hopefully have learned something in the wake of Me Too is a good point. And that's what I was trying to get at earlier. But it is a moral conundrum having to root for the Steelers. It's a moral conundrum being someone who was baptized in the Catholic Church. Like, we have to face these moral conundrums all the time. And I'm saying, like, to all of the Dolphins fans in the room, like, trust me, you don't want this. Like, it sucks when you have to grapple with this every time you turn on a game or every time you watch a highlight. Like, you have to think about, oh my God, well, I don't really want to root for that guy, but, you know, I want my team to win. And so, like, we shouldn't have to do that when we watch sports. We don't have to do that. And I'm saying, like, that's where I think, like, we need to ask ourselves why we're okay with doing this constantly over and over and over again. Why can't we just hope or expect some change?
Well, I think we want the decision taken out of our hands. Like, we want the league, the justice system, you know, whatever, to so that I don't... Why do I have to make this decision? I didn't do this. I'm just rooting for a sports team.
So, just to deconstruct the whole purpose of why we said, how did you feel with Ben Roethlisberger? That's why, what you just said right there. That's the crux of it all. It's when you said, hey, Dolphins fans, trust me, you don't want none of this. You don't want to have to feel this conflict. That's why at least for me, that's why I asked you, because I wanted to know what's that like. Not as a whataboutism, but as an explanation of this is what the moral conundrum feels like.
But of course
like.
She gets defensive, because of what happens to her every time any of these conversations come up. And she's the extra woke woman not letting the boys have their fun. And they can
You're using woke the way that Aaron Rodgers used it.
I think he's using
that?
It the way that people use it as like a pejorative
as a
on the internet. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that that's actually the correct usage.
Yeah, you don't even have to use the word woke there just because she's a woman.
And they're objecting to it, and I'm speaking on behalf of what it is that happens to you anytime. This is the difficulty of making your way as a woman still into the locker room where all the boys are and where all the boys have the power and all the boys have the microphones and all, you know, the boys is the demo of the people listening to this and in the stadiums. And it must feel awfully lonely. It must feel unwelcoming. It must feel all the things that can only change if we're more and more aware of them.
Right. And you don't become more aware of them by me just sitting here and eating my oatmeal and drinking my espresso in peace, which is all that I wanted
to do this morning. Well, this is what we should be talking about instead. It's much easier. PJ Tucker, Heat Bucks, says it's a calendar game.
Ooh.
He says he circled it on his calendar. So I want to know what the ranking of the games are. Revenge game, statement game. You guys were telling me, is this a Case Keenum revenge game tonight, Mike? I don't know whether it is or it's not, but... I want to know.
I don't know who would want revenge more, Case Keenum on the Broncos or the Broncos on Case Keenum, considering how poorly that went.
The rare double revenge game. You don't see those very often. Yeah. But what is there? Where is a calendar game? PJ Tucker. I don't even understand why PJ Tucker hates the Milwaukee Bucks. Why does he hate them? A mean basketball expert.
Probably didn't give him enough of a contract offer, and so he had to go somewhere else or didn't want him back, maybe.
This is an uncomfortable conversation for me now because I don't want to betray confidences, but yeah, the exit wasn't clean. The exit wasn't clean, and PJ, part of it is contract driven. But yeah, there is an element of, hey, you, go F yourself.
Anyone have a suggestion for the description for the local hour? Struggling with it today.
An important conversation. I'm glad we had it.
Our editor is Chris Cody.
Yeah.
So you're just sitting there right now, just stewing?
I'm just doing the thing. Witty, write this for me. Come here, buddy. This is your thing.
Does our Meadowlark Browns correspondent want to opine on what the first, what the local hour, what the conversation should, how it should be titled?
Well, let's continue to talk it out, I think, because that's where we're getting somewhere with all these conversations. I find this fascinating because we call it out with a musician, right?
Chris just said we get somewhere. He just
We're going somewhere. We're still in the process.
We're getting somewhere.
Make the title listen to hour one, please, if you listen to this.
We're getting somewhere.
Yeah. Or just tag awful announcing in the title.
But we talked about this with musicians, at least I do. Like, I agree with Amin. I don't like R. Kelly. I avoid R. Kelly. I'm not playing R. Kelly on Touch Tunes. Same stance on Michael Jackson. David Bowie, that was one of my favorite artists. And if I go through his past or Prince's past, I'm not gonna like what I find. I think hypocrisies are a part of life. What separates a truly moral good person, I think, is taking everything into account and generally trying to do what's best. I don't think Chris Whittingham is a bad person if the Dolphins trade for Deshaun Watson, the Dolphins go on to win a Super Bowl because of that trade. Nor do I think Jess is a bad person for speaking truth on Deshaun Watson while being a Steelers fan. I think we're, in today's day and age, we're too quick to jump down someone's throat for just experiencing the human condition. It's trying to boycott Chick-fil-A while tweeting that boycott from your iPhone. There's hypocrisies everywhere.
But Mike, the conversation that we're having, because you're talking about a fundamental humanity, and the reason we're having the conversation is because I haven't heard anyone go as far as the robot made of wires, David Sampson, birthed by the corporate machine, telling you, yeah, I'd play him. Mm-hmm. And there's no human in that. As you're sitting here trying to navigate this, he's telling you in your face, not only does your conundrum on the human condition not matter, you're going to keep paying me because you love what you're addicted to what it is I give you. None of you are going to actually make the moral stand. I've got to be honest. I'm not turning off Michael Jackson. I'm not doing it. Mm-hmm. I'm still listening. Like, in fact, I hear you guys say it and I'm like, really? It's on the radio. You guys are jumping to turn off R. Kelly. You're doing that.
R. Kelly, Michael Jackson.
I don't think radio stations play R. Kelly anymore.
Okay, but if you get a recommended Spotify playlist of here's some songs you might like and R. Kelly is in it, do you skip it?
If the ignition remix comes on at a bar, are you not going to...
Are you leaving the bar?
That's a good
song. Okay, let me say...
Are you leaving the bar? Hypocrite. Are you leaving the bar?
I'm not leaving the bar, but I'm not bopping my head.
Are you toe tapping on your stool?
So for instance, Kanye is another one for me. I'm out. I'm all the way out on him, and I don't care.
But we're all picking and choosing.
Exactly. But Chris, that was my point. Dan said, really, you guys are out on Michael Jackson? And I was like, I'm not out on Michael Jackson. I mean, and it's...
I think the reason why people want to ask Jess about Ben Roethlisberger all the time is because there is a demand from people who are not making these moral decisions to, hey, you want to be you know, holier than thou? Be an absolutist about it. Get rid of everything. Get rid of your Steelers fans. Get rid of your music. Get rid of your Kevin Spacey movies. Get rid of all of it. If you're going to tell me that I'm a bad person for still liking the Steelers.
But why can't I really want to understand this, because I am a bit of an absolutist on this. There's business and there's life. There's commerce and there's life. There's art and there's artist. And they're separate. And I, when I'm watching my sports leagues, find it far easier to not have the corporation with a conscience and a soul, because it's going to be so inconsistent. It cannot get it all right. I mean, the goddamn Catholic Church was doing some of the worst things you could do to children. I don't trust the corporation. One of the reasons that my favorite voice in media right now is Russell Brand, of all people, who has just sort of crawled through some shit and really calls out institutions on things.
He's very long-winded.
Well, this is where our governing bodies have failed us, because this does all operate in a gray area. When you can't rely on laws to legislate crimes, especially crimes against women, then you're left having to make a moral decision about what degree of misconduct you're okay with, how much of it, how many accusers do there need to be? Because we can't trust that people who actually commit these crimes or are accused of committing these crimes will actually be, you know, tried in a court of law amongst their peers, and they're innocent until proven guilty, and all the like Law and Order SVU things that we want to recite. Like, that's just not how the real world works in these cases, which this is why we have to have these difficult discussions all the time, to rehash and find whatever degree of okayness you are with any of it.
So two things. One, I thought Witty made a really interesting point about that, Jess, when he said we're looking for someone to take the decision out of our hands, right? I don't want to be the judge, jury, and executioner on...
The Texans did it for the NFL.
Right.
The Texans did it for the NFL.
But there also might have been... That might not be a pure of heart decision. I think they're not playing him because he asked for a trade, and was kind of leading a public outcry against them before the accusations came out. I think it has more to do... I mean, obviously, you have a convenient excuse now, but I don't think if the accusations didn't come out and they couldn't work out a trade, I think Deshaun Watson would be playing right now.
But Amin is getting to truth. Witty is also getting to truth. Jess was getting to truth. I'm looking to Jess on Ben Roethlisberger so I can collect data to say, well, what do I do here? Mm-hmm. But also, bleep you, I'm an absolutist. It's so fun. Just exploring all of it. It's uncomfortable, though, too.
Chris Cody, why is your face red? Please tell me it's the same reason I think, which is...
being the truth arbiter?
Well, I just thought the title to this hour was Getting to Truth. Well,
that's good. No.
You can't handle the truth.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Don Lebatard.
Ravens could double up the Colts, and they are good against every team except the Steelers. I mean,
so that's a 14-point win there for the Ravens.
Yeah. Double up, two touchdowns.
Stugatz!
I think double up is a score. Like, if the Colts have 10 and you double them up, you score 20. Well, I don't think double up.
That's how you do it. I do it differently.
Okay, but I don't think that double them up. Like, you explained it to me as if I was supposed to.
You have my way.
I understand, but that's not technically doubling up. Like, I think you used the phrase wrong or something happened.
Double up plus 4.
Yes.
Exactly.
Okay, that's what he meant, of course.
Mm-hmm. Two touchdowns.
You never cease to amaze me.
He's amazing. He really is. He's breathtaking in his stupidity.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz.
I don't know, man. Every time the movie Seven comes on, I gotta stop and watch it. Every single time.
I haven't seen Seven. Not because of any moral.
Are you out on Morgan Freeman?
I haven't seen it in like 20 years.
Really?
You're out on Morgan Freeman?
No. I mean, well.
No, isn't
no.
Spacey's in it, right?
Spacey's in it.
Easier. Spacey's a despicable character.
Man, let me tell you. Like, he's a despicable character, but that motherfucker can act, huh?
Yeah.
That's an acting motherfucker right there.
They hit him until like the latter third of the movie.
Yeah. No, he was so creepy.
Rick Great movie.
It's the best last 7 minutes, I believe, in movie history.
Oh, I see your seven, and I raise you. Usual Suspects is also has Kevin Spacey in it.
Yes.
He seems to be good at finales.
God,
Kevin
that
Spacey.
Motherfucker's good, man. I hate it.
Roy, did you do the last 7 minutes on purpose?
No,
seven,
no.
Is that the thing you're doing?
No, but they do so well in the movie Seven to build the tension until the final scene.
Oh, my God.
And
oh,
honestly, like, it's right. It's why I'm mad that I knew the cultural reference, what's in the box, before I saw it. Because it's kind of like, so like, for example, I knew the cultural reference of the Fredo boat ride in Godfather 2. Before I saw Godfather 2, so I'm like, all right, this culminates in the Fredo boat ride. It's the last scene. So I'm spending 3 hours and 10 minutes like watching the movie going, do the thing.
Witty, the best example of this is people who watch Star Wars now and they all know Vader is the dad. Dude, when that shit happened.
What?
When that
spoiler alert.
When that shit happened, like in real life, the scene in Return of the Jedi where Luke goes to Dagobah and he asks Yoda, is it true? And he says, yes, it's true. They made it specifically because when Empire Strikes Back came out, people were like, oh, he's lying. They literally refused to believe that it was the truth. So they said, we have to have the most trusted character in Star Wars break the news. And that was Yoda because everyone felt like grandfatherly or whatever. It's so nuts how everyone's mind just exploded at the idea of this. And now people who watch it are like, oh, yeah, of course, he's the dad. I was like, you lose that.
Yeah. Right, because it's Luke, I am your father, reference that, like, it's, you know, all right, it's like an applause line in a sitcom.
By the way, everyone gets the line wrong. It's funny, that's how ubiquitous it is. Everyone gets the line wrong, because the line is, Obi-Wan never told you what happened to your father. He said, he told me enough, he told me you killed him. He said, no, I am your father, is what he says. Mm-hmm. And people say, yeah, there it is.
I actually did want to use like a movie analogy for everything that's going on here and for why David Samson, someone that soulless in sports, you don't know you need him until you have them, because you can disassociate yourself from a moral standpoint if you can just put it on someone else for being a soulless dickbag, right? It's like in The Dark Knight
at the end.
The Joker with the boat, mm-hmm. and they have the two boats armed with explosives, one with inmates, one with just
citizens.
Normal folk. Yeah, with presumed innocence. And then Zeus just comes by and says, I'll do what you should have done a long time ago.
R.I.P. Yeah. Tiny. He says, give it to me. You ain't got the heart for it. Give it to me. And he hands it to him. What's he do, Mike?
Chucks it.
Chucks it out the window and just sits his ass down. But in that moment, they needed a tiny Zeus Lister to do that, in the same way that at the end of the movie, when Harvey Dent dies, Batman says to Gordon, you can't let people know what an awful person he was.
Yeah.
Live the lot.
Gotham needs me to be.
Exactly, right? And which to me, it's still, that's the greatest. Everyone loves Heath Ledger. I'm like, to me, the greatest thing out of that trilogy is the idea that, hey, we're going to pass this thing called the Dent Act. And we're going to clean up Gotham from these truly awful people. But every day, Commissioner Gordon has to sit there and listen to people say how great a man Harvey Dent was. And he's like, this dude tried to kill my kid, man.
Yeah. Like, and it's why Goodell actually earns his money.
Oh, yeah. Dan was saying, oh, he got it because he cleaned up the town. That's not why he gets paid. He gets paid because he's the hero that Gotham needs. And Gotham here being rich white men.
Yeah. And his mentions or a tire fire.
Yep.
Right? Jess, in society.
Jess, you're our Roger Goodell, minus the compensation.
I'm the hero the Dan Le Batard show needs.
Yeah. More
raspier.
Whatever the show needs.
Whatever the show needs.
There it is.
I'm better at brain.
I feel, in retrospect, I was kind of like Bane. That segment. Yeah.
Yes.
You all of it were. Shit. Welcome to the human condition.
Do what you will for you, the people.
While simultaneously trying to blow up the Steelers in Heinz Field. There's so many connection points to the Dark Knight.
And whose back did you break in this situation?
Jess.
baby. Okay, before he said Jess, I said baby. Just
I don't know about that.
Walk right into it.
I did not baby myself. That was really
rewind the tape.
Really poor timing on my part. I had already unmuted myself.
Jesus Christ! The Olympics in the like 100 meter dash when it's real close. They got that weird black and white photograph.
Yeah. me getting my joke out before it means saying my name. Like,
hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stopped, opt out. Individual results may vary. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You've lost so much weight. How'd you do it?
I got medical treatment for weight loss through Zelty and lost 50 pounds. I struggled for the longest time, but Zelty makes it easy and affordable to get weight loss treatment 100% online. Zelty providers can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications clinically shown to help people lose weight, like Wegovy, Zepbound, and others.
I've heard those medications can help you lose weight, but aren't they expensive?
Zelty can help get the medication covered by insurance, so it's as little as $0 a month.
What if you don't have insurance?
No problem. Zelty may be able to help you get other GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% off the price of name brand medications.
I'm ready to start losing weight. How do I get started with Zelty?
Just text.
Text THIN to 200-300 to get started today with Zelty and see if weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound are right for you. Don't wait. Text now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text THIN to 200-300. That's THIN to 200-300. THIN to 200-300.